This is the other half of me, and he's going to talk.
Okay, that's what you're gonna do. Yes, yeah. That's right, that's true. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see so many people in the Ashwood Centre this morning. Let me add my welcome to Claire's already. If you're a guest with us this morning, if you've come, friends and family of Caroline, Sally or Rich, then it's especially great to have you in here. If you just kind of stumbled in because you wondered what happens in the Ashwood Centre as part of Ashwood Church on a Sunday morning, then of course you're really welcome. And actually, let me tell you that this actually isn't a normal Sunday. So if you want to see what we normally do on a Sunday, I'm not quite sure even what that looks like, but if you want to see what a normal Sunday looks like, or a bit more normal, then come next week or the week after, or the week after. Because this morning, if you haven't picked up already, and the reason that we have a pool of water here is not just because we're slightly crazy, it's actually because we're going to be baptizing people here this morning. So that's why, hence the clever name, Baptism Sunday. It does what it says on the tin. So, as Claire says, we're going to hear from Rich and Caroline and Sally, and they're going to tell us a bit of their story as to why they've decided to be baptized today. And that's always an important part of what we love to do together, to hear people's stories of why they've made the choices that they've made. But just before we do that, I'm just going to take a few moments just to explain, if you're a guest, to exactly why we're doing what we're doing. Claire's absolutely right, and it makes sense that we celebrate, because as part of church, one of the things that we love to do is celebrate. So that's why we sing these songs this morning. That's why we clap and applaud and bring our worship to Jesus, because actually we believe that it's more than just a club, an organization to be part of, that actually being part of church and giving our lives to God is the best thing that we could do. In fact, it's the thing that we believe actually that God created us for in the first place. So we're all about celebration. We even have cake later. Does that mean it's a proper celebration? Yeah. I think it does. So we'll have cake and refreshments afterwards. And of course, this morning we're excited because three people are being baptized and we'll hear their story. But actually, we're really excited because what we're doing this morning, what we're doing, represents something that those of us who've decided to follow Jesus, it's actually part of who we are. It's part of our journey, and actually it symbolizes something that is much greater than just one individual. It actually symbolizes something that is for all of us who have decided to follow Jesus. And baptism is a significant part of that journey. So, what is baptism? Well, the first thing that it is God's visual aid. And what we're saying is that actually, as part of there's a journey that the people who are being baptized take, and actually what they'll do this morning, you'll see it physically, they'll get into the water, which is lovely and warm, by the way. Not too cold, not too hot. We've had both before. And they will physically get into the water, they'll go under the water, and then hopefully they'll come out of the water as well. And that's what we'll do physically. And that is actually a symbol of what will happen spiritually. Because it also represents Jesus' journey. So we're saying that in being baptized, we're believing that Jesus' death, symbolized by the cross, took place so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus was then buried physically. And then 3 days later, Jesus came back to life and was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, proving that he was the Son of God and he's alive today in heaven at God the Father's side. It's good news. And what happens is that there's a faith journey that also takes place. So we do something physically that symbolizes and represents what Jesus did. But also we realize that what we're doing in baptism, we're aligning ourselves. As we go into the water, we're saying that Jesus... that we're saying that we've died to our old life, that Jesus paid the price to cover it, and that by going under the water, we are recognizing and we're aligning ourselves with Jesus in his death. And then by coming up out of the water, it's like we're symbolizing the things that as Jesus died and came back to life, so we are symbolizing the new life that we have in Jesus. And also symbolizing the fact that our past is gone and we are raised to life, to new life in Jesus. And it means that in the same way that we talk about our past and our history, it means that we recognize that there's a separation from our old ways and our old life, and it actually has to have no bearing on our future, which is a wonderful thing. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, this new life fills us, and the life of Jesus then lives within us and working through us. And it's really important to be clear about this, because I don't know what you understand by what it means to become a Christian, but I think sometimes we have a misconception. Somehow we think that becoming a Christian means that we perhaps become a slightly nicer person, that perhaps we help a few more old people across the road, that perhaps we throw a few more coins in the charity tub. But actually what happens is, in the same way that Jesus died and was raised to life, actually what happens for us as we become a Christian is actually a total transformation that takes place. And it might be that the outcome is that we change a little bit, or it might be that we recognize that we want to give all that we have to God, and then that might be reflected in perhaps the way that we use our finances. It might be represented in the way that our character is changed and it is different. But actually, becoming a Christian is actually a total transformation. And actually, that's what happens when we decide to follow Jesus. We have a total transformation from our old existence into, the Bible calls it actually, a new life. It says that we are born again. That actually it's not just a little bit different. It's not just a small change. Actually, it symbolizes that actually we are totally transformed. And we move from our old existence into a new spiritual existence. Let me read you these words. I think it's back one. That's right, Rach, yeah. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6, part of it. It says, "Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." So becoming a Christian, we move from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. It actually couldn't be any more dramatic. For those of you who've been present at a physical new birth, I think you'll agree with me, it's pretty dramatic and messy. And in the same way as physically new birth is dramatic, so spiritual birth is dramatic. It's moving from the old to the new. It's not just becoming a little bit nicer. My English teacher always said she hated the word nice, and I think I'm agreeing with her. The other thing that baptism does is it symbolizes something for us that's to do with cleansing. In Acts chapter 22, it says this, "Ananias said to Saul, 'And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.'" What we're doing in baptism, we are moving from what the Bible calls sinners, which is essentially choosing to live our life our own way. It's the word sin means falling short of God's best for us. And it's a really important part of baptism. What we're doing is we're recognizing that none of us can live the way that God originally intended. We all fall short. And actually, there's nothing that we can do to put that right. But by recognizing and aligning ourselves with what the Lord Jesus has done for us, that actually we become spiritually clean. It's not through our own endeavors or our own efforts, but actually it's like our old self, which is spiritually dirty, becomes spiritually clean as we are accepting all that Jesus has done for us. And there's more than that too as well. We move from being disconnected from God to being welcomed into his family as not just bystanders, but actually welcomed as sons and daughters part of God's family. And all of this can be summed up in one spiritual truth. The Bible talks about us being what it calls in Christ. The Apostle Paul explains it. He says that once we are in Christ, then we have all the benefits that come from Jesus himself. It's pretty good news. And the word baptism, it literally means to immerse. It's a term that used to be used to explain dipping of fabrics of cloth. And what they used to do was they used to put it into the water. It wasn't just a sprinkling, it was something that's totally immersed. And that's the image that we want as well. We're saying that we want to have everything that God has got for us. And so we believe that actually being fully immersed is the way that there's the best way to do it. So if that's what baptism is all about, then why would we want to be baptized? Well, it's very simple for us. Firstly, Jesus was baptized. Then Jesus baptized others. He told his followers to baptize others as well. In the end of Matthew's gospel in the Bible, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." This is Jesus' instructions, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then the early church did it. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was just being formed, it said this: "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added in their number that day." So for us, really, it's very simple, actually. It's about being obedient to what we believe Jesus said back then that we should do, and actually we believe that it's still true for us today. So once we're born again, we've made a choice to put Jesus first in our lives. We understand what baptism is about, and it means that we can get on and do it. So this morning we've had conversations with the people who are being baptized, making sure that they understand what we're all about, what we understand by baptism, and they're all clear that that's what they want to do this morning. And in this story that I just mentioned then, that story in Acts chapter 2, what happened, Peter stood up and he preached. And then people said, "Well, what should we do?" And his answer was, "Well, the best thing to do is to repent and be baptized." And that's why we're baptizing people today. And my final question, very quickly, is what should we expect then at baptism? I just mentioned then that Jesus himself was baptized. And in the account that Matthew explains, it says this: as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." So what do we expect then when we're baptizing people today? Well, we expect that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be present with us. We expect something of an open heaven. We expect to hear from God. And we also expect to receive a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. So as well as recognizing something symbolic that takes place, actually we believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, does something supernatural and very wonderful in the lives of those people who are being baptized. And so we're going to pray some things. We're going to, some people here this morning, we've invited to pray for the people who are being baptized. And they may have a word that they think, some words that they think that they can share that will be encouraging. We expect that. There may be also some people who feel that God is actually speaking something specific to those people being baptized today, and we encourage that as well, and we expect some of that to take place. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to pray something encouraging, or you believe actually that you may have even got something that God is speaking to those people, then there's opportunities to do that later after the meeting. We've also got I think we call them baptism boxes. I think that's something we just made up, because that isn't a real thing, is it? But anyway, we've got some we got some, what we love to do is actually on baptism Sundays to have a record for people who have been baptized of some of the things that people wanted to say, things that they may wanted to encourage them this morning. Maybe it's a prayer, maybe it's an image of something that is helpful to them we want to encourage them today. So what we encourage people to do is to write something down and pop it in one of those boxes. You'll see over there, it started with a few words of encouragement, but now there's gifts and there's all kinds of things that end up in these baptism boxes. So we'll do that. We'll do that in a moment or two. But lastly, the important thing about Baptism Sunday is that we do it together as church. It's obvious, perhaps, but you can't get baptized on your own. And actually, as well as being physically baptized this morning, the other thing that is really important to us is that we give people an opportunity to declare why they want to be baptized. And if you were around a couple of weeks ago, those of you who are part of Ashwood Church, Stuart Bell was here and he was talking to us as part of our mini conference, Stronger Church. And one of the things he was talking about was filling the house or filling the place where we meet with things that are encouraging. And one of the things he said was fill the house with great stories. Well, this morning you were going to fill the house, the symbolic house of God, with some great stories. And what happens is when we hear stories of what God has done in other people's lives, I want you to do two things today. I want you to listen, obviously, pay great attention, be polite, be friendly. I know you will. It's quite daunting sometimes stood up here in front of people. And we agreed this morning as we met together that it is a little bit nerve-wracking. So please be encouraging. But actually, I want you to listen carefully, but I also want you to listen to what God might be saying to you this morning. Because as part of us being together in this place, I know that as well as, and you'll hear some of the great stories of the things that God has done in people's lives, the truth is that for you and for me as well, that the God who we are worshipping, the God who we're singing these songs about this morning, the God who we are recognizing is actually our Father in heaven, who's actually sent his son, Jesus, so that not just everybody else could receive the great news of Christianity, but actually you and me can also receive it. So this morning, as well as it being a general conversation, it's also a specific conversation. So I'd encourage you to ask God to see if he's got something to speak to you this morning as well. Right. I think it's time that we hear some of these stories then. So, Janet, why don't you come and help us? And I think we're going to speak to Caroline first. So why don't we welcome Janet and Caroline.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Caroline, those who don't know her. And I think that some of you here who know Caroline... I've known Caroline a long time, will be going, why is Caroline here today? Am I right in thinking that? So Caroline's now going to tell us why she's here today. So off you go, Caroline.
I've been in the church since I was about five, various denominations over the years. I was christened as a child, and I've also been confirmed in the past, obviously. I first made a commitment to the Lord Jesus as a child, and I've reaffirmed that over the years at New Wine and Spring Harvest. My journey has had its ups and downs, don't we all? There have been times when, although still going to church, I've not been walking closely with the Lord. I have decided to be baptised now because over the last year I have made some serious mistakes at work that did actually involve even disciplinary reaction, and that led to a lot of stress. And the other thing I've just remembered is that I kind of bottled it up and didn't reveal what was going on early enough, really, and it ended up with me resigning. And also last year there were some messages at church about representing Christ in the workplace that I clearly didn't take enough note of or do anything seriously about it. So I really want to leave all this, these mistakes behind in the waters of baptism and start afresh. I've been out of work for 6 months and I'm still looking for the right job where I can use my skills to the glory of God with his help. And I want to declare that I want to walk closely with the Lord in future and build my relationship with him.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Caroline. Now, some of us, as I said, have known Caroline a long time, and we know that she does walk with the Lord. She is seeking to follow Jesus in all his ways. And because of the significance of what's happened over the last year, she just wanted to stick a stake in and go, this is really me, and I'm really doing it. Not that she hadn't really been doing it before, but you know what I mean. But there's something fresh for Caroline that she saw. And so it's great, isn't it, that we can baptise her and she can just take hold of all that God's got for her. So Claire, do you want to come and pray?
Yeah, I've known Caroline for a long time as well, haven't I? Caroline and I often share an office down here when she was not in work before. And for those who don't know her, she is the most comical person that you can have around. She's got a real dry sense of humour that is amazing. So yeah, keep going with that one. As I've been praying over the last week or so, the phrase that I've got for you, Caroline, from God is, it is time to stop disqualifying yourself and step into your destiny. I'm going to say it again. It is time to stop disqualifying yourself and step into your destiny. The Bible is filled with unlikely people who do extraordinary things. And Caroline, God's got extraordinary things that have got your name on it. God has a divine destiny for each one of us to fulfill. We each have seeds of greatness and treasure inside, waiting to be recognized and released. It's easy to stay comfortable in our comfort zone, using only a small amount of what God has given us. But in order to rise higher, we have to do our part to develop our confidence in God and step out of our comfort zone whenever needed. When we move, God will make a move. So do all you can in the natural, and God will in return do the supernatural. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do all good things that he has planned for us long ago. And he has given you a destiny. Something to do in this life, something only you can do, Caroline. Before you were born, God wired you with certain ambitions, desires, and drives to play a particular role in history, one that only you can play. God has given you a unique mixture of spiritual gifts, passions, abilities, your personality, and experiences. There's no one like you in the entire universe because, in part, there's no one with your unique mix of talents. It's why your destiny is unique. It's your destiny. It's not your mother's. It's not your father's. It's not your pastor's. It's your destiny." And I'm just going to pray that over you. Father God, we thank you for Caroline. She is a person of destiny. That your favour surrounds her like a shield, that no weapon formed against her will prosper. What you have started in her life, you will finish. That Caroline will become everything that you have created her to be. From this day on, help her to not disqualify herself and her unique God-given gifts and passions. God declares you are more than qualified. In fact, you are incredibly important to God. We ask you to shake off Caroline every negative comment that has been spoken over her. We ask that you reprogram her thinking to believe who you think she is. When God created Caroline, he breathed his blessing into you. You are wearing God's crown of favour. Help her to step up and step out in faith into the plans and purposes you have for her. Bless her today as she publicly declares you as Lord of her life. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. That was good, wasn't it, Caroline? When we've been talking and preparing for this, there's some things that Caroline and I have been talking about and praying about that that just speaks into, doesn't it? So that's brilliant. Off you go then, Caroline. I'll take that with you. Okay, Sally. Where's Sally? And Alison. I've got the tissue box ready for you, Sally. No, she's not predictable, but she just tears do flow. Yes. Now, Sally hasn't been with us as long as Caroline, but it's a great pleasure to have you here. We've loved having you a part of Ashford Church, and we're even more loving the fact that you've made this decision today to get in the pool and get on with it. Yep. Well, perhaps not swim in that one, but to make some declarations. So why don't you tell us how you've come to be here today, Sally? What you can.
From around about 18 months old, my mother and I lived with my grandparents. And whilst I always knew that I was loved, it was quite a strict and stern household. And I always had an overwhelming sense of worthlessness, of being a disappointment, and never quite clever enough, or pretty enough, or popular enough. I never really cared what I looked like and was a bit of a wallflower. I always tried to do things to make everyone else happy, often to the detriment of myself. This eventually led me into entering into an abusive marriage, both physically and mentally. I looked for love elsewhere and had an affair in order to escape the abuse, which added to my guilt. The marriage failed after only 3 years, and this left me feeling like even more of a failure, with the shame of divorce at 24. I became skilled at hiding my feelings and putting up a facade to my family and the outside world. But behind closed doors and living on my own allowed me to sink deeper and deeper into depression. A colleague invited me to Alpha. and I started to learn about God. Not the cruel, condemning God that I was taught about as a child, but a loving and understanding God. I started to feel better and wanted to speak to other people about what I had learned, but my friends didn't believe and laughed at me. And I was so insecure at the time that I was more bothered about losing my friends than welcoming God, so I turned my back on him. But I knew that something was missing, and I tried to fill the void with other, what I thought was spiritual things, crystals, angel cards, attending spiritualist church. And whilst they provided short-term comfort, especially after my grandfather died, something felt wrong about it. I eventually met and married Martin, and we wanted to start a family. But nothing happened. Eventually, after 6 years, a miracle happened, and Harrison was born, and then Sophie 17 months later. And I should have been happy, but all I could think about... was how bad a mother I was, how I couldn't cope, especially with Sophie when she was poorly. I tried to make up for it with gifts and days out, but I could only... But on my part-time income, I just spiralled deeper and deeper into debt. Then the month before Christmas last year, I kept running into a familiar face from playgroup, Claire, about 3 or 4 times in the space of 3 weeks.
That's usually a good thing, I have to say.
It was. It definitely was. Each time I kept saying I would come along to one event or another, but never quite made it. Eventually, however, my guilt took over, and on the 10th of January this year, I ventured through familiar doors. I'd been through them so many times before, attending Seesaw and children's parties, but never on a Sunday, and I was really apprehensive. Looking back, I now know that God has led me to Kirkby, to Ashwood, and eventually back to him. And whilst the darkness still rears its head, all I have to do is put on my worship songs or pray, and they lessen. I have a greater confidence in my faith, and I am no longer embarrassed or worried to tell people that I am a Christian. I even raise my hands in the car and don't care who sees it.
Not 2 hands at a time, I hope.
No. only in traffic. My self-belief has increased, and my confidence, and I feel I have a purpose in my life. I want to help people, not just to look better to God or for what I can get out of it, but to genuinely help people. I am more willing to forgive and give people a second chance. I realise that it isn't a sign of weakness to accept help from other people. One friend commented that they now see and feel more of the magic and wonder in life, and see the good in the world, and it's true. God has given me hope, peace and love. I know I have a long way to go, but I'm trusting in God to guide me in the right direction, to show me the sins that I don't recognise and allow me to repent. I know that I matter to God and that he loves me.
Amen. Alison. And Alison's going to pray for her.
Can I just say that I started at a similar time to Sally, and I think we've been on this journey together, haven't we? On this roller coaster of a journey. And I think it's amazing that she is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I do feel that God has his plan on your life. And if you look at the willingness of Sally and how much you have got to offer to not only to your family but to the church, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Shall we pray with her? Dear Lord, we thank you for Sally today. We thank you for this wonderful life that you have created. Lord, it's been a roller coaster of a life, and you've been with her through all the way, Lord. We just pray today that as she enters into the waters of baptism, that you will leave all the sin behind, Lord, that she will feel a new creation, ready and willing to work for you. Lord, we thank you for the light in her life that has magically been lit up again. Lord, we just pray for her and for the witness she is to her family and to her friends. And we pray that, Lord, sometimes in the dark days that will still come, Lord, we just pray that you will guide her through. Give her the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, working within her. Lord, we just pray for your grace, for your peace, and for your love in her life, today and every day, Lord, in her walk with you. And Lord, may we as her supporters be with her the rest of the journey, Lord. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to say to you, Sally, what I said to you the other day. Whenever I come to baptism, I always look at people's names because there is something really significant about our names. And although our parents may not have necessarily thought a lot about the meaning of our name, somehow God seems to get involved in those things. And Sally's name means princess. Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? Right there at the beginning of her life, I think God just put that over her. Although she had a really difficult time, that there were lots of struggles, there was a lots of sense of not being loved and not being worthy, God set that in place. And today, she's saying, I'm taking hold of what you called me, of what your plans and purposes are. And I was just so excited. And Sally and Alison were too as we shared that. I just think it'd be just worth knowing because there's a verse in the Bible that says God knew us. Right at the beginning, he created us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He watched us. But sometimes when life comes and hard things come, we go, where was God? What was he doing? But right at the beginning, he was there.
Bless you.
Okay, so it's over to Matt.
Okay, Rich, why don't you come and tell us some of your story? Let's welcome Rich, shall we?
Morning.
I'm starting to wish I wasn't last. Thanks for that, Sally. many of you may know me around the room, and some of you may not know me that well, and you might be a little bit surprised, but the main reason I'm here is probably because of Cheryl, and over the last 5 years I've been in and out of church doing one another things, and probably sometimes been a little bit reluctant, disinterested, or very much distant from it. However, over recent times my journey has taken a lot of ups and downs, and my faith has really started to grow and be challenged in different situations and in different places, and I've only just started to realise now that actually that's kind of God talking to me, giving, as Matt describes it, little nudges in places when you think, oh, why did that happen? Who is that? And it's only when you kind of have hindsight that you think, oh, actually, that means something. And that's quite significant for me because I sometimes don't get it, or as Cheryl will say, have you got your eyes in today? So, and it all really started earlier this year when Dwayne White came And he had a prophetic word for me, and I've got to be honest, it freaked me out a little bit. I've never coming from a non-Christian in background with a very loving family to somebody who I've never met before be so right was very weird and quite alien to me, and it was a real kind of kick to me, and I had to say, right, I've got to kind of do something with this now. Woke up the next Sunday morning, went to church with a bit of a spring in my step, and I was like, great, this is fantastic. And then I got a phone call from my mum on that Sunday morning, explaining that my mama, who I'm very, very close to, she's like my mum, had been rushed into hospital and potentially, well, was going to die. She'd had a stroke. So we left church, went to the hospital where my mama was laying in bed unconscious in ICU. And at that point, my world just crumbled. My mum was like my mum. All my family was there, and the specialist came in and said, there's nothing we can do. So at that point, I turned to Cheryl and I said, look, I need you to pray. That was the only thing I thought I could do. These specialists can't help. I can't do anything. I thought the only person who can is God. And we stayed days, days and days, and eventually my mama regained consciousness, and a miracle happened right in front of me, and she's still here today at home. She's not fully functioning, but I thank God every day that she's here, that he performed that miracle, and that myself and other people can enjoy that. Sorry. Even before Dwayne came, I guess God's kind of always been there. A lot of you will know my daughter and Cheryl's daughter, obviously Freya. She's a little miracle in herself. We had to conceive Freya through IVF. The problem was me, so I took it very, very personally, and I didn't know what to do. At that point, I wasn't really kind of trusting in God. My faith wasn't maybe as strong and as reliable as it should have been, but Cheryl's was. Never wavered, always true to it, stayed on that path and put everything into God, where I was like, it's the doctors, it'll be the doctors. And the news that they gave us and what they said to us over that time was amazing. It was miraculous, and I look back and I think God had his hand in that. There was only one person that could, no matter how much knowledge and training they have, God still had to be part of that even then. Earlier this year, I went through a real bad spell with work, pretty similar to Caroline. I've worked for the same company all my working life, and I was in a real dark place. Didn't know what to do. Every day was like Groundhog Day. I was driving an hour there and an hour back in a car on my own, thinking, what am I going to do? I'd spend an hour without the radio on, but I knew that when I'm driving to work, that was my time to talk to God and ask for guidance. And through hitting a number of brick walls, I had to make a decision, but I could only do that with the courage and the guidance of God, and also the support of my church family that I've become very reliant on. And there's a group of people who we go out riding with, play football with, that are now more than friends, than my family, and that's great, because it's something that I never thought that I could have and be a part of. So yeah, and then I just want to say thank you to Cheryl, and love you.
Okay, that's good, isn't it? And one of the things that when Rich and I were talking
several times
we've had a few conversations, we sometimes do it riding bikes together. It's a great place to go, isn't it, riding bike?
Yeah, it's good if you're free.
But you'll see from one of the things that Rich, that you mentioned in your story, was the things that Dwayne said, and as I was praying, and as we were talking, I realized that those of you who don't know, one of the things that Dwayne said, he's a guy he lives in Texas. So God sent, sometimes, you know, God's on our case and he'll send someone from Texas
America
to speak to us. That's sometimes the way that God works. And one of the things that he said to you, Rich, was he said, God says to you, it's time to come and reason with me. It's time to come and reason with me. And he said that.
And again. And again.
And he said it again and again. And those of you who don't know, Rich's surname is?
Reason.
Reason. So, and when I spoke to Dwayne afterwards and I was explaining to him the story, I said to him, you know, that was a slightly unusual phrase that you used. And he said, hey, Matt, yeah, I don't know why. I never say that. That's not one of the things that I would normally say. So I said, oh, okay, that's great, thanks. But just evidence that God was on your case, like you say, in a very specific and unique way. And as I was, Eric's going to come and pray for you in a moment, but as I was praying and as I was thinking, and we were talking the other day, I realized that one of the promises that's in the Bible that is very famous in Jeremiah that says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they're good plans, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then it says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And I just felt it was almost like God underlining that same thing that he said to you back then. He said, if you reason with me, come and reason with me. And actually, the issue for you today and as you look forward future into your life is that actually that God is, it's more, the important thing is that you and him are together. And that's what God has so wonderfully done in these last few months. When you can clearly point to all the things that where God's been on your case, and just as Eric comes and prays for you, it's just worth noting. I don't know about you, but I love hearing those three stories. They're all so completely different, aren't they? But actually, I know that there's some of us who are sat here who probably sit in the same kind of chair that Rich used to sit in, the one where. You're like you said,
the non-Christian chair reserved. My. Someone else can have it though after today.
It's not a seat you need anymore. But
don't need it.
You don't need it. But that it's really fascinating to hear that actually, you know, Rich has been around, and if you're honest, you were coming because Cheryl was
drag. Yeah.
I was just leaving the space so that you could fill in that word. But but actually now the truth is it wasn't just Cheryl that was on your case. We know that God was on your case. And I'm just aware this morning as we stand here in these moments that there's other people probably in this room who you're going, do you know what? I don't get all the things that maybe I'm talking about or Janet's talking about, but actually I hear what Rich is saying and I get exactly what Rich is talking about because I'm sat in the chair thinking I don't want to be here I'm less comfortable here than I could be.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I did forget to kind of shoehorn in was myself and Sally were both on Alpha at the beginning of this year, and that was a fantastic opportunity to share with people, with Kirsty, with Johnny, with Martin and Susan and everyone else on it, and be open to be able to challenge and question. Like Dwayne said, I want to reason things. I like to see facts and figures and definites, and it was an opportunity to actually be open to it and say, hey, I might not understand everything, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good tweet. Okay, so Eric's going to come and speak to us. Just worth saying, just before Eric prays, that Rich is still working through some of the conversations that he's having with his family. So what we've agreed this morning is that we'll be sensitive to what we put up on social media, so that Rich can continue the conversations that he's having. So if you're a social mediaite, then if you could just be sensitive this morning as we
a little bit tricky.
Through that ties. Okay. So Eric, why don't you pray for Rich?
Quite overwhelmed, actually. But I want to say thank you, really, for not only are you a friend, but obviously you're my son-in-law. And I want to say thank you, really, for the journey that God has been taking you on. And when you've been talking about praying in the car, that's one of the things that I've been praying for you, that place in the car will be actually for you and God to have really good conversations. And I believe that your journey, so to speak, that God, you know that he's been on with you, is not finished. This is just the beginning. And my heart for you actually is that you are and will become a man of God. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you that today is written in history, that you've seen this day coming for a long time. And Father, I thank you for the plans that you have for this man, to uphold him, to build him. Father, for the questions that he will ask you, and you delight in people asking you questions. You delight in those people that seek your heart, and they will find you. And Father, I pray for this man that as he seeks you, that he will find you. And the journey that you are going to take him on and the rest of his family, Father, is bigger, broader, deeper than he could ever imagine. Because you are a God that sees things and brings things into being. And I want to pray, Father, for those things that you have for Richard, that you will bring them into being, because you are a creator God that says it and does it. I thank you that you're a man of your word, that when someone says something to you, you actually take them at their word and you bring them on. And so, Father, I thank you for today, what is going to happen in the waters of baptism, that there is a cutting off of the old and into the new. And in the newness, Father, fill this man with your Holy Spirit. Overwhelm him, Father, on days when he goes to work, that the living God is absolutely living in him and through him by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fantastic. Are you done, or have you got anything else that you wanted to just...
No. That's okay. It, I'm done. Yeah.
Fine, fantastic. Well, we're going to go and... those of you being baptised and who are helping with that, we're going to go and quickly get changed. And while we do that, why don't we stand together and sing one song that declares some more truth about what we believe here today in this place.
I'll never.
I think we might be... Oh, yeah, there he is. We're waiting for the boys. Can I just suggest, children, if you wanted to come down this front end and block in a bit of space, you can do that. And if anyone else wants to fill this space up near me, you're really welcome to. Just for safety, avoid standing on chairs, please. So if you need to have a better view, negotiate yourself to a better view. Right, MB, are we bringing everyone up the front? Great. Yeah, so Janet's going to jump in. So Janet and I are going to baptise Caroline. Oh, can I? Could you be?
You need to stand at the front, otherwise you'll hit your head. We don't want any accidents. Right. We always ask three questions as people are baptised, just to check that they are doing this for the right reasons. So we're going to do this then. So Caroline, do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
I do.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?
I will.
Okay, it's my pleasure.
Oh, happy day, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same.
Okay, so Sally, do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
I do.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?
I will.
Oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed.
Okay, here we go. So, Rich, you've seen what happens. Are you ready for this?
Born ready.
Okay, good.
No, sorry, I'm stoked.
Yeah, yeah. We keep saying, one of the conversation that me and Rich keep having is, he keeps saying to me, I'm really stoked about this. So, just checking. First of all, Rich, are you stoked?
Stoked.
Okay, brilliant. Secondly, do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
I do.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?
I will.
Oh, happy day, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Oh no, forever I am changed. Yeah.
Wow, what a celebration. Why don't we close our eyes for a moment and we'll pray as we finish our morning together. Father, we're so grateful that you've saved us. We're so grateful that what we have witnessed and seen and celebrated this morning is true for every single one of us who've made a choice to follow you. Our Lord, we remember this morning and we say thank you to you for the stories of three individuals that remind us that the God that we worship is not an out there, miles and miles away God, but he's a God who's very close to us. We thank you today that you are right at the heart of our very lives. You're interested in the details. You're interested in the very core of who we are. And Lord, I thank you that you're at the start, and I thank you that you'll be at the end. Thank you, as we heard today, that each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. And thank you that as we choose to follow you, that the decision that we make doesn't just finish as our life here on earth finishes, but it goes on to eternity where we can live with you forever. And so this morning, as we celebrate and we give thanks for three individuals, actually we celebrate the bigger picture that you've done this for every single one of us. And for those of us this morning, Lord, who find ourselves in Christ, I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen us. And those of us who are here this morning who have questions that are unanswered, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us this morning in this place. Would you pour out your Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us.